We're glad you're here this evening and encourage you to take your Bibles and follow along as we discuss some things that hopefully will help you and help me as Christians to think about who we are and where we need to be in our life and what our responsibilities are to God. We all have busy schedules. It doesn't matter if you're retired or if you're working a full-time job, if you're a student, a teacher, or working a factory, or if you're a businessman or woman, whatever it is we're doing. We're all in a rush, seems like. This past week was a full week for many of us. Brother Hall was here, and he had some excellent lessons. And I tell you, it was time well spent to be here for 45 or 50 minutes in the evenings to listen to those good lessons that he had from the Word of God. And I know some people Friday night were tired. But you know, a lot of times things that are worth having and things that are worth more to us, they make us tired. We get tired because we put some effort into some things. And so it was a good week, and it was good for us to hear those lessons. And so, that being said, concerning last week, many of you have had a busy day yesterday and today. So what about the coming week? If we live through the night and we face tomorrow as another day of our life, what are we planning on doing tomorrow and the next day and throughout the week if we live? First of all, we need to say if the Lord wills, we will do such and such. If the Lord wills, we will do our work tomorrow. We will attend school tomorrow. We will take care of business tomorrow. But what are we going to do in our life? What's our plans? It's important that we consider our life as it is and some good things that we can do. You know, we can spend our time doing a lot of things. And there are some things that we may do that really would be unnecessary, that may be wasteful for our time. And there are some things that we can do that are good for us that will be beneficial for us in the use of our time. When I look back on the time that I've had on this earth and realize where I've gotten to today, I realize that many times I have wasted hours and days and weeks with things that perhaps I should have been concentrating on something else. So what are we going to do with our time this next week? Now, some people, it seems, always have excuses for not coming out and doing things that they need to do. It's easy to make excuses. Sometimes we make excuses for not going to visit someone or not studying the Bible or not praying like we should or not being the kind of person I ought to be toward my neighbor. We have a tendency to just make excuses and say, well, things are pretty bad for me. You know, I've got it worse than anyone else, and because I have all these time frames and all these schedules I have to meet and all these deadlines that I have to perform in my life and have to make it happen by then, I'm more pushed than anyone else. So these other people, they have more time than I do to attend the gospel meetings or attend the singing or study their Bible or pray or call someone, so let them do it. And so I need to be careful as a human being that I don't try to excuse myself from fulfilling the responsibilities that I have as a Christian by comparing myself to someone else. And sometimes we let things in life run our life for us instead of us running our life as God wants us to. We let things around us become problems for us, and we let those things influence us to back away and slow down and don't do all that we should do as Christians. So let's think about some things that may will help us this coming week. Some good things to do in the next few days. Now, I don't have three or four things listed this evening. Won't take much of your time. But these are things that we talk about in the Bible that will be good for us to do that will help us. Doesn't matter if you're a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, whatever your occupation is. These things will help us if we'll take time to look into it and do some of these things at least in our life. Make plans for it. Schedule for these things. Reading the Bible, study the Bible, meditate on it. And I know we bring this up quite often from the pulpit and our Bible classes about the importance of studying the Bible. Well, it's one thing to read the Bible, but it's another thing to read and study. It's one thing to read and study the Bible, but it's another thing to meditate upon. Think about what we've read. Keep it in our heart. Keep it in our mind. When we're at work, when we're at play, when we're in business, when we're going about the everyday walks of life, think about what we study. Apply what we've learned to our life as we walk and as we talk and as we work and as we play. Meditate on God's Word. That's thinking about it. Think about what God is saying. Let it ring true to us that I need to be this kind of person. Look to Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. There the psalmist talks about the fact of the Word of God and how important it is that we let it direct our lives and direct our minds and that we put it in our hearts and follow what the Word of God has to say. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, the psalmist says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." We realize that the more we study as Christians, the more we want to study. And then the more we want to study, the more we will study. And the more we learn, the more interesting it becomes, and the more we want to learn. So study and meditation is very important. Look to Psalms chapter 119, and the verses 89 through 105 talk about the Word of God and how important it is to read it and study it. I won't read all these verses, but look at verse 97 of Psalm 119. He says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thy ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. For your precepts, and through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." So the Word of God is very important. John 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me," Jesus said. So studying the Bible, learning the Bible, obeying the Bible, meditating on it. Romans 15 and verse 4, it's important that we read the Bible through and through, that we study it from beginning to end. The things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might learn not to do and sin as they did, that we might learn the difference in the law of Moses and the law of Christ, that we might learn where God would have us to be. So this week, let's take time out to study our Bibles. And it may be from reading the pages like I read tonight. It may be listening from the Bible on the audio as we ride down the car or down the road in our car. It may be listening to, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, it may be listening to sermons that someone has preached, and we have them on so we can listen in our car. So listen to the Word of God. Well, secondly, another thing we should do this week that would be good for all of us is pray and pray often. Not only pray and pray often, but maintain an attitude of prayerfulness. It's one thing to pray and pray to God and pray a prayer in the way that God would ask us to pray it, and certainly we need to pray. We ought always to pray. We should pray every day. But we ought to plan on praying regularly, whether it be in the morning or the evening, or morning and evening both, or morning, noon, and night. We should pray, and we should schedule to pray, and we should pray any time that we can think of to talk to God, because He's always there. He's open. We don't have to make an appointment. As Christians, we can pray to God and when we're sitting in the chair, or when we're standing up, or whatever it is, we can pray to Him and talk to Him, because He's our Father, and He knows our needs, He knows our wants, and He wants us to pray to Him. Praying to God is important. Luke 18 and verse 1. And we need to pray with the right attitude. The attitude of who God is and who we are. Humble ourselves in prayer. We need to pray regularly and on a consistent basis. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and 18. Because prayer on a regular basis will build us up. Pray without ceasing. Romans 12 and 12. We need to be devoted to prayer. Prayer as an individual, prayer as a husband and wife, prayer as a family, thanking God for our food and our clothing. Philippians 4 and verse 6, we don't need to be anxious, but we need to pray to God for the things that we have and thank Him for the things we have. And that brings about another point this week, is to be thankful for who we are and what we have, and the fact that we're Christians and we've been forgiven of our sins. Psalms 140 and verse 13, those that are blessed, those that are serving God, will be thankful people. If we say we're Christians and we claim to be Christians, then we ought to be thankful for all our blessings. Spiritual, material, financial, all the blessings we have come from God. So are we thankful for all these things? Do we thank God for our husbands and wives and children and parents and our food and clothing and shelter and our freedom? and for all those many spiritual blessings that we can't even name that we have in God through Christ Jesus, those spiritual blessings. So being thankful and showing thanks to God is something that we can do and we can have in our life so that we can draw closer to God through prayer. Well, in the fourth place, another good thing to do this coming week is to trust in the Lord and keep our priorities in order. It's easy during the week to get our focus off, get a little blurred vision. It's easy by Monday at noon to think about all those appointments we have and all those schedules we've got to maintain, and all those deadlines we've got to meet. It's easy by Wednesday afternoon to try to say, you know, I'm really tired, Fred. We've got Bible study tonight, but I just don't think I'm going to make it because, you know, I'm just so tired. I've got to rest. Where's our priorities? Well, the next morning, Thursday morning, we get up and go and we push to go to work. And why? Because, well, we need that paycheck in the next week. At least most of us do. So we push ourselves to do the things that are most important to us, and we see a reward coming at the end of it, so we push ourselves to do it. For instance, like going to work, as I said. Some of them will push themselves to go to work, but that same headache they go to work with may keep them out of Bible study, may keep them away from worship. So we need to have our priorities line. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. Trust in Him. Lean on Him for our understanding. Philippians 4, verse 13, the Apostle Paul talked about the trust that he has in God. The trust that he put in God and in Christ, and the full assurance that he had in knowing that God was there for him. He said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so that's something we need to have, is that trust in the Lord, knowing that when I'm so weak I can't hardly go, I can trust in the Lord and I can ask Him for strength. And I can understand that when there are things that I'm facing that I may not know exactly how to face those things and how to deal with them in life. It may be sickness. It may be difficulties. It may be problems. It may be a situation. Or what am I going to say to someone in this situation? I need to go to God in prayer and study His Word and be thankful and trust Him. Trust in Him. Trust in the Lord. Putting our priorities where they should be, or our priorities in life. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Where are my priorities? What are my priorities in life? Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. You know, sometimes we can make excuses and we can say, well, you know, I cannot do this because I am hindered from it and I'm not allowed to do it. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes in life, if we want to bad enough, we can read the Bible, and we can pray, and we can study, and we can do things, and we can put our trust where it needs to be if we want to. I don't normally call names, but sometimes I do. So Fred and Mary shared that. Good day, Tootin, back there. Just an example. Fred and I served, I don't know, somewhere between 8 and 15 years together in Nashville, Florida. W.H. spent several years there too. Well, you go to drill after you come off active duty, you go to drill. And you expect to be at the drill. And you better be there on time. You better not be late. Because there's a thing that happens if you don't obey the rules. How many years, Fred, did you and me and W.A. and the Jones boys that were in the guard? How many Sunday mornings did the captain and first sergeant say, yeah, you boys can go and ask for the church? And we'd go to drill okay, and we'd get everything going, and we'd get our job started. But about 15 minutes before services started, we walked out that door, and we took our caps off, and we walked across the street, and we walked into Hansville, we laid our caps down, and we worshiped. We heard the sermon. We had the Lord's Supper. And even towards the end, when I was preaching at Bethesda, Sergeant McNabb, he was a man that didn't, you might say a faithless man. Hard-nosed soldier. I don't think he had any religious affiliation that I knew of. But he respected people who did. He knew I was preaching at Bethesda. He said to me, he said, John, you just show up
Sunday morning, sign in. And whatever time you need to leave, get there to preach, you leave. Then you come back Sunday afternoon, you spend what time you can. Then they can make the drill up on the pew. See what I'm saying? The thing is, sometimes people will work with us to help us keep our priorities right. Some people who don't have the priorities we have, sometimes they'll work with us to help us keep our priorities right.
Do we have the right trust in God as we should? Are we putting our priorities in line as God would want us to? Well, another good thing to do this week is to talk with and listen to and consider and help one another.
Each other in the church, brothers and sisters in Christ, love one another, be devoted to one another, care for one another, exhort one another. Someone mentioned Ethel Jones this week in the nursing home. She loves people to come and talk to her. She likes people to listen to her. Jan gave her room number this morning. You used to go into Woodland and go down and turn left and go down to the nurse's desk and turn right. She's first going left. Now you go in, you turn left, you go down to the nurse's desk, you turn left and she's down here instead of left. Those people like for someone to come and talk to them. Even if it's just for a few minutes. What are we going to do this week? Is it going to be something that we, on the weekends, that we'll say, I feel good about that? Or at the end of the week, if we live, we're going to say, I wish I'd done a little bit different. And we need to set our priorities. Call someone, visit someone, write someone that's facing problems, trials, and difficulties. There have been several here that's written my grandson, Fort Leavenworth, Missouri, and I appreciate it. I've read them several times. Been several weeks now. I'm going to tell you, I finally got a letter from him this week. To thank Grandpa for my having. And to read the words he wrote. He's growing up. He's had a good hard slap in the face and he realized a little bit about life, about God, about family and priorities. It's good to talk to people. How people listen to you. It's how good be good to have people talk to us and listen to us.
We need to think about that. That's something good to do. Talk to people. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren that have problems, brethren that are suffering with the temptation, brothers and sisters in Christ that may have fallen away, or those that are going through troubling times, brethren that if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one the spirit of meekness, consider thy own self, lest thou also be tempted. And you go on through those next few verses and bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That would involve maybe a phone call or a letter or a card or listening. Just listening. Or talking. Or just calling. Matthew 7 and 12. Therefore, whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them. Jesus, when he was teaching and when he was going about from village to village and place to place, and he would see the crowds and he would see their needs and he realized these people had problems, he would be filled with compassion. And he would listen to them. And then he would talk to them. Sometimes he'd pray for them and with them. Sometimes he'd just simply teach them. But he had compassion. What kind of compassion do we have for other people? Consider and help other people. Well, something good to do this week is be prepared, because time may just run out on us. It ran out for some people today, and yesterday, and it will tomorrow. We don't know when it's going to be. We don't know when it's going to be. So before our time runs out, how are we using our time?
Are we using our time trying to be good and trying to be just and right and trying to help other people and trying to get to heaven and lead others there all we can? Are we trying to build up the church and edify and exhort one another? Or do we spend our time looking and trying to see what someone else is doing and say, or point a finger and think about what's bad instead of what's good? Do we spend our time trying to see things that we can point out that someone's doing wrong rather than seeing some good in people and help build them up so that they do better than they're actually doing? Are we letting the adversities of life pull us down and hold us back? We need to realize that time's going to run out, so we need to use our time wisely. We need to pray to God, and we need to study, and we need to put our priorities where they need to be. And so in doing that, we need to make sure that we're not letting life and its effects and the things that happen in our life harden us and keep us out of heaven. Because it'll do. With God on our side and His Word in our mind and His Word to direct us in faith in God and prayer and to help one another, we can actually change some things in life to make things better for ourselves and for others and get to heaven. But if we let things and obstacles and situations harden us and hurt us and hold us back, they'll take us to hell because we let them bother us. Y'all heard this story before. There's a man who had a daughter, a grown daughter. She was always complaining about how bad things was. It's always bad. Daddy, I've got it so bad. So he took her into the kitchen and he said he took an egg and he took a carrot and he took some coffee. And he put three pans on the stove and he turned the boiling water on. The water was boiling. He put the egg in the boiling water. He put the carrots in the boiling water. And he put the coffee in the boiling water. And when he was finished, he poured all the water out. And he told his daughter, he said, "What do you say?" Well, she took the egg that it went in raw and with a tender shell. And she cracked it and opened it up. It was horrible. That thin shell was there, but the egg, the water had changed it until it had become horrible. He said, "You see, this egg went in raw and liquid, but now it's horrible. The water changed it. The heat changed it. And the carrot that went in hard and firm and the water boiled, it came out soft." And he said, "The water had an effect on the carrot. Its surroundings changed it, like the surroundings of the eggs changed it." But then the one with the coffee, he said, "Look." He poured in a cup and said, "Try some. Delicious coffee." You see, the coffee did what we ought to do in life. It changed the surroundings that it had on it, rather than let the surroundings to change it. That's what we need to do. We need to learn that we can get through life and we can make some changes in our life. But what are we going to do this week? Are we going to let our cares and our worries and our troubles and what someone else has said or what someone else is doing, are we going to let that hold us back? Are we going to make some changes and get our priorities right before time runs out? What about this week before time runs out on us, whatever it may be? Hopefully we'll live a long time on this earth and serve God and teach others the truth and the church will grow. But before time runs out, what about our attitude toward life itself? What about our attitude toward the church and the Word of God? What are we going to do with that, the time we have left? Story told about two sisters, two Christians. And they were sowing. And they were one there at one of the elder's house, and they were sowing, and they were both sowing on their husband's pants. And they were sowing up the hole, putting patches. And one of them, she spoke up, she told the other, said, "You know, my husband said he's so discouraged with the church. He's just so down and out with the preacher over there. He said he's so tired of our preacher and the elders. He's just so tired of the elders, he's just about to give up." And the other one just kept sowing. She said, "Well, my husband, he understands that the elders are human beings and they're men and they make mistakes, and he supports them 100% because they're teaching the truth and they're trying to hold up the truth. And he understands the preacher gets tired sometimes and overwhelmed, and his one lesson may not be as good as the next. But as long as he preaches the truth, that's what matters. So he calls the preacher and encourages him occasionally, and he supports his hands and holds up the word of truth. And my husband's happy with everything." Silence fell on the room and they continued to sow. The first one sewing up the seat of her husband's pants. And the second, putting in patches in the knees. So you see, our attitude toward life and our attitude toward, what are we going to do this week? What about the people around us? Well, time could run out. James 4:13-14. "Go to now, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to such and such a city, continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away."
I need to try to keep my life in order for myself and for those around me, my wife and my children, my grandchildren. How am I going to bring my grandchildren to Christ if I give up? How am I going to teach my grandchildren the importance of serving God if I don't serve Him myself? I need to have my priorities right, and I need to do it before time runs out, because it could. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it's pointing to man wants to die and after this is judgment. We're all going to be judged, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. We're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So we don't know what will be on tomorrow, but it's for certain today, if we live to tomorrow, we need to do something good for ourselves and for our life and for others and for God and for the church while we have opportunity. Christ is going to return one day, and whether we've done good or whether we're going to be, whether we've done bad, is going to come up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he says that, you know, Christ is going to return, and when he does, he's going to bring vengeance on them who know not God and those who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to be busy obeying God. Life's point of the lesson. One thing good that you and I can do this week, if we're Christians and we're faithful, we can live with confident expectation that better things are coming. There's something better than this. There's something better than life on earth. And that's life in heaven. That's life eternal. Are you living with confident expectation that if you die, you're going to a better place? Am I living with that expectation? We can. If we'll study, if we'll read, if we'll meditate, if we'll apply, and if we'll obey the Word of God. If we'll be prayerful, if we'll be honest with ourselves and honest with others and care about others and do what's right. And if we'll grow and study and be faithful, there's a better place awaiting. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not for me only, but for all those who love His appearing. Just a few words this evening of encouragement for me and for you, because I know all of you have your plates full and your cup runneth over with things to do. But in our busy world, there's some good things we can do. We can pray, we can study, we can read, we can share, we can care, and we can learn to change things around us rather than letting things around us change us. We can change ourselves to fit what God wants us to be. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, you can obey this evening by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Come forward and confess Him as the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized. And you can leave this building a child of God, having confidence that when this life is over, you're going to a better place. Maybe you're here this evening, and as a Christian, there may be something in your life you need to correct in a public way. If that be the case and we can assist you in prayers, then we'd urge you to come while we're led in the invitation song.
When we walk with